Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Well, we have a few more weeks of summer days, and it's a great time to curl up with a good book. So today we are opening up the lines to get your summer reading recommendations. What are you reading? What have you discovered lately? And if you have children, what are they reading? Today we are joined by Carla Kozak. She's collections developer for children's and teen books at the San Francisco Public Library, and she joins me in studio. Hi, Carla. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Rose. Thank you.
We're also joined by Kevin Hunsinger, co-owner of Green Apple Books, an independent bookstore in the Inner Richmond in San Francisco. Green Apple has some very exciting news. On August 1st, there will be a new Green Apple bookstore on 9th Avenue in the Inner Sunset. They'll be sharing space with Lividio. And Green Apple was also just named as Bookstore of the Year by Publishers Weekly. Kevin, you must be so excited. Congratulations.
It's fantastic. It really has been a very exciting few months for Green Apple and the city itself.
Well, and I have to say, whenever we do shows about books, sadly, we start off by talking about the latest closure.
Yes.
So it's so nice to talk about the fact that a new bookstore is opening and an independent one.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about that.
Well, today, for example, the painting crew is there. I drove by on the way to the studio today. And, you know, we've got a lot of great people at Green Apple who are all involved in the creation process. So it's been a couple months of theory and a couple, you know, very, very serious, intense weeks lately. And we're looking forward to 2 weeks now. We have 2 weeks to unlock the door, and we haven't put in a single bookcase yet. So we're really about to roll up the sleeves and spend 2 weeks just creating. So
it's
very exciting.
Really exciting. So can you just talk quickly about the business decision behind it?
Yes.
Are you finding that more people are now wanting to go into bookstores and maybe buying less than they used to online?
I definitely think that San Francisco has enjoyed a great support of neighborhood businesses. And I think that's something that has spread a little bit to the rest of the United States, at least an awareness of that. So I feel very fortunate that we do have that support with our community, and we're really looking forward to building on that. It's been wonderful. I think that we have been getting more people in San Francisco to Green Apple. We have a great tourist attraction, so we get, you know, travelers from all over. We have seen no shortage of people coming through the door. It hasn't slackened at all. It's definitely increased, and it just feels wonderful. And there's a great enthusiasm for it.
That's great. So again, Green Apple will be opening its new store on August 1st at 9th Avenue in the Inner Sunset.
We're calling it Green Apple Books on the Park.
Okay.
So to differentiate a little bit, that was kind of a concern, to name it Green Apple or not to name it Green Apple, because Green Apple has such a tourist attraction and we're so well known by so many people. It was a concern to have somebody not familiar with our store to come to a separate location and go, oh, Green Apple, well, this doesn't really, I've heard so much. This is, you know, we're expecting to have a wonderful bookstore, but not exactly like Green Apple. They will be different.
Well, the thing that I also love about the show, in addition to getting a long list of amazing books, is so many listeners call in with their favorite bookstore and talk about what they like about it.
Yes.
So I do want to give out the phone number now. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'd love to hear what you're reading. What recommendations do you have? What have you discovered lately? And I haven't asked this question before, but I often think about, if I had more time, what would I read about? So if you had more time, what would you want to read about? And maybe we can give you some recommendations. And you can also call in with your favorite bookstore. And Carla, you are the collections developer for kids and teen books at the San Francisco Public Library.
Yes.
What changes are you seeing at the library? Because I know during the economic downturn, there was so many more people going to the library.
That's
true.
Our circulation went way up during that period. It's coming down just a little bit, but it's still really good. We remodeled or opened so many new branches in the past 10 years in the city, and each one is just, they're really, really busy. The librarians are very busy with summer reading, lots of fantastic, interesting programming going on at all the branches. So we really are still doing really well, getting lots of people in and doing everything we can to keep that happening. We want to serve the people of San Francisco in every way a library can.
I went to the main library about maybe a month ago, and almost every station on the bottom floor was full. Where is the demand right now in the library?
Where's the demand for everything?
Everything. What has increased?
all sorts of things have increased. Definitely the demand for using the computers. That's always been very, very busy. Programming has increased and is pulling in really, really good audiences, lots of people taking part in the programs. And the books are going out. And we get asked for specific books. We keep track of which books are just the holds. So when the holds ratio gets to a certain number, we will order more copies. And children's and teen services, we have wonderful children's and teen librarians, and they are doing so many innovative things. And my colleague Sarah Stone and I are there to provide them with all the materials they need.
So let me ask you both, what are you reading right now? What are you reading, Carla?
What am I reading right now? I'm reading a book about that I actually heard about on NPR, and it's about the development of I forget the exact title, but it's about the brains of serial killers, essentially. So, but I have to say, I was on the Caldecott Award Committee last year. Not a kid's book, but I was on the Caldecott Award Committee last year. I had the honor of serving on that. So last year, I read nothing but picture stories. So I went in a little different direction. I just read Rosie Perez's autobiography. But children's books are my main love. So it's actually unusual for me to have just read and be reading two adult nonfiction books. But as I said, last year was all picture stories, and I love them. And I've brought in a couple of a favorite from last year and a new favorite. And I have a whole list of books that are popular at the libraries, books that have been asked for at San Francisco Public Library this summer, and books that the librarians are making sure the children know about.
Okay, and we'll go over those in just a minute. But first, Kevin, what are you reading right now?
Well, I would first of all, I'd like to comment on what Carla was saying about the programming at the San Francisco Library System. I've been on the selection committee for San Francisco's One City, One Book program for the last 2 years, and we recently announced this year's, winner. The book is Armistead Maupin's Tales of the City, the first book of that series. Now, he completed that this year after the ninth book, so it's a great time to celebrate him, to celebrate the initial book. But I can tell you that the programming associated with this One City, One Book program is fantastic. They do such a wonderful job every year, and I really encourage everyone to go to the sfpl.org website, check the scheduling, and if something interests you, go to an event, because they really do, it gives a book life. And what I'm reading right now, actually really reading right now, is a book I haven't finished, but I brought down here. It's called On Looking. So for summer reading, I have kind of a little motif, this effort, for getting out and about, reading's great inside, but hopefully there are books that inspire you to get out into the world, and no better time than summer. So On Looking is by Alexandra Horowitz. She's the author of Inside a Dog, which was a great seller, very popular book about what it is really like to be a dog. Well, on Looking, she goes around her one block area in New York City thinking she's a very observant person. You know, she's written about how dogs observe things, and she thinks she can really, nail this to get her block right. Well, she takes a walk around by herself and does her efforts, writes it down and then gives you her impressions. And then she walks with her toddler of a son and then various other experts. And it's just dazzling how much she doesn't see until somebody else points it out to her. It's fantastic, and I'm just the first 2-3 people into it, but it's gripping, and it really is a wonderful way, to question how we observe, and so there's a lot of mental processes involved, and she goes into the physical aspect of our brains and our, recognition response and whatnot.
Does she also talk about how we are affected by this sort of fast-paced life we live in and how that affects what we see and what we don't see?
Certainly. Yes, certainly. And again, I'm just kind of, it will come up in many other ways, but yeah, that's already been a part of the book.
It's called On Looking, A Walker's Guide to the Art of Observation by Alexandra Horowitz.
Yes.
Now, this sounds really good.
It's really good. Just the kind of stuff I'm liking these days.
Thank you.
Sure.
And if you'd like to join us to talk about what you're reading or if you need some recommendations, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your recommendation to Your Call Radio or feedback at yourcallradio.org, and then we will put this list on our website right after the show. And let's hear from Kara in San Francisco. Hi, Kara. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. And I just want to say I love these kind of shows, and congratulations to Kevin on opening up Green Apple Books on the Park.
Thank you.
Can't wait. I love Green Apple Books.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I'd like to recommend a book. I'm sort of into reading mysteries and into Nordic noir, and it's a book I found at my library, and it's called Closed for Winter, and the author's name is Jorn Lierhorst, J-O-R-N-L-I-E-R, Horst, and I appreciate it.
Oh, you know, Kara, I'm really sorry, but your line is bad. Maybe you can call back on a better line and we'll try to get you in. Sorry about that. Or you can drop us an email. Are you familiar with this book?
No, I think that's actually how you pronounce the author's last name.
Can you say it again?
I'm kidding. Well, those names are very difficult.
Are you familiar with Closed for Winter?
I've seen it. I haven't read it, but I'm a big fan of that aspect of the, you know, the mystery genres from that area. So everyone I've read have been very good. So I wrote this one down and I'm going to try it.
You know, and the author's name?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll look it up. Thank you. And sorry about your line. Let's go to Jan in San Francisco. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Rose. This is Jan Wall. It is a fabulous show.
Thank you.
I love independent bookstores. I'm so happy for Green Apple's extension. And then also, of course, libraries. I was lucky enough to grow up going to libraries, and I just love them. Oh, how much they enrich our lives. Anyway, this is a very exciting time for people who love showbiz in terms of books. I read about a showbiz book a week, and there's all kinds of new stuff right now, including the two I just finished, which is one is about Vanessa Redgrave, and it is an absolutely amazing book about not only her politics and her upbringing and, you know, in theatrical history, but also this unusual woman. She's so strange and different, as well as being a great actress. So it's a very good book. And then there's a new book about Johnny Carson, which is by his attorney, and it's all about how evil, really evil, power can make you, and what happened to him, and his heart kind of went into the dark side. And it's a very interesting book at what happens when someone has just too much of everything.
And what is that called?
That's called Johnny Carson. It's just him on the cover with that name, and by his lawyer. I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Okay.
And if I could say one more, because it's a great summer read.
Sure.
For those of us interested in the politics of Hollywood, it's, believe it or not, it's called John Wayne, his career and his life, and it's by Scott Ivor, I believe, and it's a marvelous book, not just about John Wayne, who had this long career and had a huge amount of love affairs but with famous women, but also it's about the politics of the blacklist, and it's most interesting.
Great. Well, thank you, Jan, for calling in. Thanks for those recommendations. You have
I have a Hollywood book, too.
Okay.
Some people may be familiar with the director John Waters. He's kind of an identifiable character. He did the original Hairspray, Polyester. Mm. He's kind of a goofball. He decided to hitchhike across the country from his home in Baltimore to his place in San Francisco. So this book, Carsick, it's not a novel, his new book, John Waters hitchhikes across America. And he does. He leaves his home and tries to, you know, hitchhike across the United States. And he is known. He's a very recognizable person. Sometimes that works to his advantage. Sometimes it doesn't. This is a wonderfully constructed book because before he begins his journey, he writes a handful of, you know, say, 15 episodes of the worst case scenario and then 15 episodes of the best case scenario of rides. So with John Waters, sometimes you're not really sure which is a good scenario or a bad scenario because he definitely has his unique way of things. So there are UFO sex, and there's a rave in a junkyard, and then he begins his real trip, and it's really fun. He relies on the kindness of strangers,
and
it really comes across well. And he made it.
Did he really hold a sign that says "I'm not a psycho"?
Yes.
While hitchhiking,
yeah.
That would make you want to pick someone up, right?
Exactly. He got picked up by a band that recognized him, and that kind of blew up, you know, on the Twitter sphere. year or whatever. So it was very popular while he was on route, and he found out about that while he was on the road. But it didn't help him that one day he was out for 6 hours in the pouring rain, you know? So
that sounds great. So it's called Car really Sick, fun. John Waters Hitchhikes Across America.
Yes.
Thank you
There's
for that one.
Hollywood.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's great.
So could I bring up a little bit about going to the dark side?
Yes.
I don't know that I can think about Johnny Carson doing that. That might be a little too much for me. But one of my favorite books from last year is Battle Bunny by the amazing John Sheska and Mac Barnett. And Mac Barnett is a wonderful Bay Area author of fantastic children's books. Pictures by Matthew Myers, although on the title page it says it is mostly by Alex, because the wonderful thing about this book, which looks like sort of like one of the old golden books that many people of my generation grew up with, is it's given to this boy by his grandmother on his birthday, and it is so too young for him. And he just takes his pencil and he changes the illustrations and he changes the text of the book, and it is hilarious, and it is it definitely has a little bit of the dark side in it, but it's just such a funny book. And really, if you're afraid that your children are going to do the same things with their books, maybe some of their less expensive books maybe need a little bit of child editing. So not the library books, though. Don't do it in the library books.
All right. And we'll add that one also to our reading list when we're done with the show today. We are joined by Carla Kozak, Collections Developer for Children's and Teen Books at the San Francisco Public Library. And she's here with a number of children's books we'll be talking about throughout the hour. And Kevin Hunsinger is co-owner of Green Apple Books, an independent bookstore in the Inner Richmond in San Francisco. On August 1st, there will be a new Green Apple on the Park bookstore on 9th Avenue in the Inner Sunset. And Green Apple was just named Bookstore of the Year by Publishers Weekly. And Kevin's got about four more books he's also going to talk with us about. And we'd love to hear from you if you'd like to give us some of your reading recommendations. What have you read recently? What are you looking forward to? You can also mention your favorite bookstore and tell us what you love about it. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Carla, how long have you been working with children's books?
For San Francisco Public Library, it will be 30 years
wow,
in September.
30 years. That's amazing.
But I've been working with children's books all my life. I've just always loved them, I think, because I was the youngest of four children, and I inherited all the children's books. And I love children's and teen literature.
Well, what has changed over the years with children's books?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure that what has really changed, because when I look at the list of what people are asking for and what the librarians are recommending, there is a wonderful mix of new titles and old titles. One of the books that it has been asked for constantly this summer is The Boxcar Children by Gertrude Warner. And that the original book is it was old when I read it as a child, and I loved it because it's four children who are totally independent. They're four orphan children, and they're on their own and living in the boxcar. Hmm. It did. There's a whole spinoff of a long mystery series that's still being written, obviously not by Gertrude Warner because she died many years ago. I totally support kids reading them. I'm not as fond of them because they're very formulaic, and the children are not independent at that point. They're kind of being bankrolled by their wealthy grandfather. But in the original book, they are on their own, and they are a family, and they are making sure they have a safe place to live and food to eat. And it is really a charming book, and I'm just so glad that it is still very popular. And also My Side of the Mountain by Jean Craighead George, which I think was written maybe in the early 60s. And again, here's a boy who is totally independent, for living out in the woods for an entire year. So I love the fact that these two older books of children, especially these days when their lives are very regimented, I think I can understand why they want to read these books where children are totally on their own without parental
We have an email from a listener who says, can you suggest some books to give to our great-granddaughter for her first birthday?
Oh, boy, can I suggest books for her great-granddaughter's first birthday. For infants, I really recommend board books, wonderful, wonderful board books. There are some older classic ones. Anything by Sandra Boynton is wonderful.
How do you spell her last name?
B-O-Y-N-T-O-N.
Okay.
Also, Goodnight Gorilla by Peggy Rathman, and that's R-A-T-H-M-A-N-N, is just wonderful in board book form. And there are a lot of newer ones. I would say come to the library and ask ask the children's librarian. Go to your local independent bookstore and ask them also to see some wonderful new board books for children. But I also would mention picture stories. There are the old classics. There are new classics. And for 1-year-olds, I think you really want to look for books that parents and grandparents can read to their children and share with their young children from the day of birth on. It's just a wonderful thing. And don't forget nursery rhymes, a really wonderful collection of Mother Goose rhymes, I think should be in every child's home library.
All right. Well, thank you for that email. And let's hear from, we have a number of callers on the line. Let's go to Dave in Sobrante. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you? How's everyone today?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. So happy that we're discussing books. So many people I know, you know, even own Kindles and use it just for the internet. They just don't read anymore. It's just so great that we're talking about books. I'm such a big book lover. I read a great book, went to my favorite bookstore in Solvang called The Book Loft, such a cozy little place to go look for books. And I went there and I actually purchased a new book by Joshua Foer called Moonwalking with Einstein, an incredible book on the mind and the history of memory. And it really ties into, you know, books and writing and how we've sort of lost touch with memory, and just the amazing way that this author sharpened his mind and actually joined a competition of memory, which is a world-famous event, and he actually won, even though he had probably one of the worst memories prior to this whole endeavor. So just an incredible book on memory. So I highly recommend it.
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you. Did you read that one?
No, I didn't, but I sure could use the help.
I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling, Dave. Let's go next to Nancy in Berkeley. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I wanted to say one thing about kids' books. A series that my 6-year-old grandson and all his friends absolutely adore, and those are the books about Mercy the pig.
Oh, yes, Mercy Watson.
And Mercy Watson, and all these kids are now eating toast with butter, which is what
Mercy
loves.
Watson loves butter toast.
By Karen DiCamillo.
Kate DiCamillo.
They are just great books. And as far as adult books, I've read a lot this year. They've all been okay, but I can't say I've been blown away by any of them. One of them was Love at the Chameleon Cafe by Francine Prost, which I thought started out really well and then kind of bogged down in the middle, and then the ending was really good. So I sort of half recommend that. And the book I'm reading now, I'm only into about 30 pages, and it's Christopher Moore's new book called The Serpent of Venice. And Christopher Moore is just, he is the weirdest author I've ever read. I read his Soccer Blue, and it was really strange, but I kept reading it. So I don't know how this one's going to turn out, but he uses a lot of Shakespearean characters. He uses Othello and Jessica from The Merchant of Venice and Portia, and then a little bit from Edgar Allan Poe's The Cast of the Amontillado. And I don't know, but it's definitely Christopher Moore.
Yes.
So anybody who likes him would probably like this book.
Well, thank you, Nancy, and I'll get your comment right after the break.
Sure.
We have to take a quick break. Today on Your Call, we are getting your summer reading recommendations. What are you reading, and what did you discover recently? We'll be back after this.
We invite you to join today's conversation. Let us know what's on your summer reading list. The number to call is 866 866-798-8255. It's a toll-free call, 866-798-TALK. If you'd rather write than call, the email address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11 o'clock, the BBC's World Have Your Say. And then at noon today, it's Bina. This week on the program, best-selling novelist Meg Wolitzer.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our media roundtable, and we'll be discussing media coverage of the ongoing military attack on Gaza. Over the past 10 days, over 200 Palestinians have been killed, mostly civilians. More than 1,500 have been wounded. One civilian in Israel has been killed. There was a big protest in front of the BBC's offices. Protesters say that the BBC lacks context and background, and the BBC's defending its coverage. So what are the media getting right and wrong about Israel and Palestine? If you have any stories that you'd like us to discuss tomorrow, please email them to feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are slowing down a bit and talking about summer reading. It is a really great time to curl up with a good book because we have a few more weeks of summer days. So if you'd like to talk about what you are reading, what you've discovered recently, maybe what you're looking for if you're going on vacation soon, maybe you need some recommendations, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We're joined today by Carla Kozak, Collections Developer for Children and Teen Books at the San Francisco Public Library. Carla has been there for 30 years at our wonderful library. And Kevin Hunsinger is co-owner of Green Apple Books, an independent bookstore in the Inner Richmond in San Francisco. And Green Apple, we're very excited about this, is opening a new store, Green Apple on the Park, on August 1st. It'll be on 9th Avenue in the Inner Sunset. They'll be sharing space with Lavideo. And Green Apple was just named as Bookstore of the Year by Publishers Weekly. And I want to ask you, Kevin, to go over some of the books you brought in. But first, you wanted to comment on Nancy's comments about Christopher Moore's books and how he's kind of a weird writer.
Well, he is. He's fantastic. I've read most everything he's written as well, and always look forward to a new one. The book you're reading right now is a sequel to Fool, which was an earlier novel of his. So if you haven't read that one yet, you might want to, because you're not too far along, put this one aside for a bit, read Fool, and come back to it. It might kind of round out some of the edges for you.
Okay, so tell us about some of the books you brought in.
Well, you know, every month at Green Apple Books, we have a book of the month, which is one selection where you have an unconditional money-back guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, we'll take it back and we'll give you cash.
That's great. How often do people return the books?
It hasn't really happened.
We have
a great staff. That's one of my favorite things about that store. I've been at Green Apple almost 25 years myself. And to tell you the truth, I mean, just it's so reinvigorating every day, you know, by the customers that come through the door, by the staff we have in the store. And this is one of those great examples where two staff members, Anna and Emily, have really, really championed this book. The July book of the month is Rebecca Solnit's new one, Men Explain Things to Me.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm saying on the matter.
You're not going to mansplain
us? No, you have to take it up with them. But it's something I'll read. I've loved everything by her, so I'm sure this is a great one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty funny stuff. Do Not Sell at Any Price, though. The next book I'm going to explain to you about. Amanda Petrouche. This is The Wild Obsessive Hunt for the World's Rarest 78 Records. That's one of the great things about Green Apple that's come around again is vinyl. Vinyl is back.
Oh.
We sell records hand over fist now. It's one of our great growth areas for the last couple of years.
Cool.
And this is a young author who travels the United States tracking down 78s. And sometimes, you know, the old records, this might be the only example of a song ever being recorded ever. So sometimes when you find something, you really are it's the Holy Grail for record collectors. And these things can sell for thousands and thousands of dollars. So she is a great immersive journalism exercise. She goes to the flea market markets with the collectors. She goes and digs through people's garages and under the porches to try to find these records. And in the course of her researching all of this, it rubs off on her. And so by the end, she is just smitten. You know, she's gotten bitten by the bug. So a really engaging and really fun look at the collector mentality and the travelogue throughout the United States.
Great. So Do Not Sell at Any Price by Amanda
Petrush. P-E-T-R-U-S-I-C-H.
Okay, great. Do you want to talk about one more?
Sure. A novel that I've really enjoyed this year is the new one by Katie Crouch. It's called Abroad. And this follows a young woman who travels to Italy, a small town in Italy, for her studying abroad year. Well, she gets in with a group of four other girls and, three others. But boy, it's kind of vicious, a vicious circle. I guess women can really be mean for each other. So you get a sense as this is developing that her friends may not really have her best intentions at heart. And there's a weird history with the area of human sacrifices. And it really, really, with like Hitchcockian dread, builds towards a climax that is stripped from today's headlines. So you will definitely find a lot to enjoy. And then it sneaks up on you and you go, oh, I know what she was doing with this. But it had me guessing and white-knuckling from start to finish. So that one's called Abroad by Katie Crouch.
Great. And also, I just realized you mentioned Rebecca Solnit's Men Explain Things to Me, the book of the month, but we really didn't talk about what it's about. And we actually want to get Rebecca on
great.
To discuss this book, and we will probably in the next few months.
Great.
But your reviewers write, and this is great, Rebecca Solnit recounts the now infamous incident at a party in Aspen in which a very important man interrupts and talks over her to explain a very important book he thinks she should read, which it turns out she wrote. I know, I love this story. Men explain things to women whether or not they know what they're talking about. Rebecca Solnit astutely identifies and politicizes this experience, which is already familiar to so many women.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I can feel myself doing it when I do it, too. And it's I don't know what it is, but I'm going to definitely pay more attention now.
All right. Thank you. We've got a number of callers on the line. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We're speaking with Kevin Hunsinger, co-owner of Green Apple Books. They will be opening a new store, Green Apple on the Park, on August 1st on 9th Avenue in the Inner Sunset. They will be sharing space with Lividio, and Carla Kozak is collections developer for children's and teen books at the San Francisco Public Library. Carla has been there for 30 years. Kevin has been with Green Apple for almost 25 years. Very dedicated people, really.
Yeah, I think it's like 55 years of combined book-selling experience here.
And know, all of them great. Wonderful.
Oh, no doubt. I'm looking to forward to 55 more. Yeah.
If you've got a recommendation, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your recommendations to feedback@yourcallradio.org. We've got an email from Robin who says, I love reading Nancy Tillman's board books to my three-month-old. Our favorite is Wherever You Are, My Love Will Find You.
Those are lovely books, and they're available as picture stories as well. So thank you for that reminder.
Okay. And our really fabulous producer, Becca, has a recommendation, The 100,000 Kingdoms by N.K. Jemisin. She's an amazing author and has built this astounding mythology and world to explore. Are either of you familiar with that one?
I'm not.
No, great.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you, Becca. And let's hear from Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy.
Oh, hi there. I have a little adventure I had with books. I actually work at the library, too, at the lovely Visitation Valley branch, right near your studio. And there was a book that appeared there on the new bookshelf called The Shick Haggadah, and Shick is spelled S-Z-Y-K. And, you know, I just was, as I was shelving books and shelving it now and then, I said, this is a really pretty book. So I just was curious about it. And then it turned out the Jewish Museum had an exhibit of this book. And I found out because of that exhibit that Arthur Szyk, who is Polish, illustrated an Andersen's fairy tale book in 1945. And because I was looking at this at the pictures, I realized it was the book that I had read when I was a child.
Hmm.
It was the Andersen's Fairy Tales with the beautiful pictures. And so I ordered it through the library. Our library doesn't carry it, but we have a wonderful service so that you can get books from other library systems. And now I'm reading that book during my breaks at work. And so I just encourage people to maybe go on little adventures, trying to look up the books of their childhood.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And for a fun book, I read a book called Tepper Is Not Going Out by Calvin Trillin. That was really a cute book. And I would love to have a recommendation for a book that's not too heavy physically, but is kind of dense enough to carry me through a 3-week vacation in Costa Rica.
Oh, lucky
you.
But
I want to go carry on.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have a great trip. Does anyone have a recommendation? Either of you?
Well, was that children's or adult?
Well,
adults.
Yeah. We'll think of that. We'll think on that for a little while. Sure. There'll be something.
Okay.
Tune in.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. Have a fantastic vacation, and we'll come up with a recommendation by the end of the hour. We've got an email from Rob who says, I'm not reading much these days. I don't have much time. I really love Thidwick Books on Clement Street between 11th and 12th Avenues. The three books I want to read right now are the Kevin Starr book about California from 1950 to 1963, The Cool Gray City of Love by George Sterling, and Finite and Infinite Games by James Carse.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar? Okay. Well, we'll add those to the list. Thank you, Rob. I hope you find time to read those books. They sound good. And let's go next to Mike in San Francisco. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for the program. My books are going to be political and historical, starting with Max Blumenthal's Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel. I'm not light reading, and one will come away wondering why it is the American Empire supports the High Holy State of Israel. It's absolutely must reading. I next go to a book that I should have read 15 years ago, maybe a little bit less. William Pepper, who was Martin Luther King's lawyer, come out with a new edition of An Act of State, The Execution of Martin Luther King, and anyone who thinks James Earl Ray was the murderer can get the real story in this book. I then went just 2 years ago to Nick Turse, T-U-R-S-E, Anything That Moves, and it highlights, magnifies the fact that 85% of the casualties of war are civilians, and what the U.S. did in Vietnam is absolutely unbelievable. Our foreign policy remains the same. Our military policy remains the same. And we should really take a look at it if we think we live in a civilization.
Well, go ahead.
Last but not least, Rose, I'll let you go here. This is out just 2 years ago also, two or three. David Ray Griffin and Peter Dale Scott of Berkeley, 9/11 and the American Empire, Intellectuals Speak Out. And this is a book for anyone who thinks they're a nut or a traitor if they think that the official story of 9/11 is the truth.
Hmm.
That's it. Thanks, Rose.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. We had Max Blumenthal on when his book came out. I believe it was a few months back, earlier this year, and also Nick Turse talking about those books. So we're very familiar with those two. So thank you for calling in, and we'll add those to our lists. And you can give us a call if you've got some reading recommendations for us at 866-798-8255. Or if you need a recommendation, Carla Kozak has been at the public library for 30 years working with children and teen books, and Kevin Hunsinger, co-owner of Green Apple for 25 years. So chances are they'll be able to give you a recommendation. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And I actually just thought of a recommendation for you, Judy. If you're going to Costa Rica, you'll probably spend some time by the water. And this is one of my favorites, kind of old, came out in 91, called Gift from the Sea by Anne Murrow Lindbergh. And it's basically a meditation on solitude and peace and love as she takes a brief vacation by the sea, and she draws inspiration ocean from the shells on the shore. And this book is, anytime I go to on a like a water vacation, I always bring this book because it's pretty short, but it's just so beautiful. So it's called Gift from the Sea, Anne Murrow Lindberg. And let me know if you like that one, Judy, and we'll come up with some more recommendations for you. And, Carla, you talked about the bunny book earlier.
The Battle Bunny,
Battle Bunny. You've got a couple other books.
I have a couple of other books. This is a very new book. It's called This Orc, He Cave Boy. I don't even think it's out yet. If it's not, it will be out in the next month or so. It's by David Elliott. That's with two L's and two T's, illustrated by Laurie Nichols. And it just... it has really fun illustrations. It reads aloud beautifully. So this is one that was just purchased for San Francisco Public Library. I really enjoyed it. And I was just, this came in the mail yesterday. It's Portraits of Hispanic American Heroes by Juan Felipe Herrera. Paintings by Raul Colon. It's part of a series, but I picked it up. Certainly, I know it's going to be, an important book, wonderful reading, definitely supporting all of those Common Core and nonfiction needs. Oh, Joan Baez is in it. And,
yeah.
Oh, I love Joan Baez. But the illustrations by Raul Colon, he is so wonderful. And he has a new wordless book about to come out called Draw. And that is a beautiful, beautiful book. And I really encourage wordless books. Three of the Caldecott Honor books this past year when I was on the committee were wordless. One of them actually has lots of words in it, but none of them are in human language, or very few of them are in human language. That's Mr. Waffle, by the amazing David Wiesner. And our other wordless books were Journey by Aaron Becker, and his the new one, the second book in that a companion book, Quest, will be coming out soon. And then Flora and the Flamingo by Molly Idle. And this is wordless. We called it, a lot of people called it the pink book because it was pink was the major color. It has really interesting interactive flaps in it so that really the reader can sort of manipulate the story. It's a charming, charming book. And the next one in that series will be coming out soon, and that's called Flora and the Penguin. And it really was the year of Flora. The Mercy Watson books were mentioned by Kate DiCamillo, and she is the current Newbery Award winner for Flora and Ulysses, which is a book that defies category. It's so quirky and so wonderful, and I really recommend that one as well.
So what can you tell us about nonfiction for children? Because I love this book that you just brought in.
This is a beautiful book. Nonfiction is really, really big and really, really hot right now because of Common Core. But what I would say is I feel so privileged to be working as a children's librarian now because there is so much talent out there. There are so many wonderful writers in every category of children's book, and the nonfiction is amazing. And indeed, the current Caldecott winner is Locomotive by Brian Floca, fantastically illustrated book, which is the history of the Transcontinental Railroad, with a family taking a trip from Omaha, Nebraska to Sacramento, and then they do wind up in San Francisco at the end of the book, which I think is wonderful for all of us in the Bay Area. And it just has so many, he's so creative, and it really makes you feel like you are on that journey with this family and traveling across the plains, across the mountains. And it just tells you so much about the Transcontinental Railroad and how important it was to the history of this country.
And what is that one called again?
Locomotive.
Locomotive, okay.
here. You know, I just think that the talent in, as you're saying, the young adult and the kids' books are just through the roof, but nonfiction in general over the past few years, this narrative nonfiction trend, it jazzes me so much as a reader that I will inevitably look for books that I have zero interest in reading the subject matter of and let the book just take me away. And that happens so much these days. The talent is so strong. One nonfiction book that's out right now in paperback that would be a great summer read is called One Summer, America 1927 by Bill Bryson. And I think he exemplifies this trend of popular history or popular science writing better than anyone. He's so engaging. And from one page to the next, you never know what you're going to end up learning or what you're going to end up reading about, constantly keeping you guessing. And when you're done with that, it's just, you know, such a fulfilling kind of canopy of life. Really, really comes across beautifully. He's great. And yeah, it's a wonderful trend.
Any other nonfiction recommendations?
You know, I have a picture book that I brought in, which is a beautiful thing to do on radio.
Yeah.
So if everybody looks, you'll see this great photo. Now, this is called Animal Architecture. It's by Ingo Arndt, A-R-N-D-T. And this has just dazzled me. I was looking through this last night, and my wife had to come in from the other room and go, why do you keep going, whoa, what are you talking about? Wow, you know, macro photography of, like, ant structures, but very unique, like how they'll, you know, make huge, like, homes for made out of leaves. And so, wow, it's just so impossible to do this book justice on air. But they focus, the one that really got me is this bioweaver. Not the bioweaver. I know, it's ridiculous.
He's flipping through the pages.
I'm flipping through the pages and I'm just getting stuck.
The architecture, I was just going to read the back
Yes.
way of looking.
Oh, I guess we can do that too, huh? Go ahead.
The architecture of people is well known to us all. Nevertheless, the architecture of animals primarily remains unnoticed.
So this Australian bird, the males collect berries and leaves and things and then build this amazing hut to attract the female, who will come down, look at what they made, and if it's not up to their liking, they'll just walk away or fly away. But if it is to their liking, they go inside and kind of get, you know, get it on. And if it works for the male, he can't, you know, he'll build that house more and more and more. So the colors and the, oh, you're almost there. The colors are spectacular. It's almost like OCD, you know, of a bird. They focused on this one in the life documentary, which I don't know, but this is sensational.
It is. It's a gorgeous, but I love
the
bird's nest.
Yeah.
That's just really, oh, wow. That's amazing. Really pretty. Animal Architecture, Ingo Arndt,
yeah.
A-R-N-D-T.
So if you're walking around the woods, you know, look up.
Yeah,
you never know
right.
what you might see in the trees. It's pretty sensational stuff.
And that ties back to the On Looking book,
exactly.
A Walker's Guide to the Art of Observation by Alexander Horowitz.
Almost like I planned it that
Very
way.
Very nice.
Huh? Well, thank you.
That is Kevin Hunsinger, co-owner of Green Apple Books. We're also joined by Carla Kozak, collections developer for children's and teen books at the San Francisco Public Library. And let's hear from Eliana in Oakland. Hi, Eliana.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
So I wanted to recommend two books. So one for, like, young adult would be Ella Enchanted.
Yes.
I love that book. When I was 17, I first picked it up at the library. Love it, love it. I've read it throughout the years. I'm 27 now, so a lot older, but I love that book. It did get made into the movie, but it really does not do the book any justice. You have to read it. It's absolutely wonderful. And then my second recommendation was actually for the caller that wanted a recommendation for Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
Anything by Eckhart Tolle will really, really, like, blow your mind. He's amazing. I love all of his books, particularly The Power of Now, especially if you're on vacation. It'll definitely open up your mind to being in the moment as you're doing your daily things. I think that would be a great book for her for Costa Rica.
All right.
Interesting.
Well, thank you for the recommendation, Eliana. Let's go next to Sydney in Berkeley. Hi, Sydney. Hello, did we lose Sydney? Hi,
yeah.
You're on the air.
Hi, Rose. What a pleasure to hear you.
Hi.
I just started Doris Kearns Goodwin's The Bully Pulpit, so I can't really talk about it. But my world favorite book is her No Ordinary Time, which is about Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt and the pre-war and Second World War years.
Hmm.
And she does her homework so beautifully. It is a marvelous book. Secondly, a Denver guy named Peter Heller, who maybe your experts have heard of. He did The Whale Warriors, which is about Greenpeace. That's a nonfiction, but he has a pretty new fiction book called The Dog Stars, which is apocalyptic sci-fi, but super sensitive. So those are my two recommendations, and I would love to hear from your experts. I'm a big John Sanford or Michael Connelly fan. Do they have a new author in that genre who I could read?
Well, I don't know if you're familiar that Peter Heller has a new novel out called The Painter, and this is a very mysterious novel. I love Dog Stars. That was one of my favorite novels, not only of that year, but of recent memory. And The Painter comes through very, very strongly. This is a painter who's of some success, who gets himself involved in an altercation and ends up killing a man. and has to deal with the repercussions of that, with the law kind of breathing down his neck. When he goes to trial for this, or when he starts, you know, they start investigating him, his sales of his work go through the roof, and now he's a media celebrity. So he's having to grapple with these two conflicting elements and everybody wanting a piece of him. Peter Heller has a very unique way of writing, very clean, very engaging. He's literary, but this has all of the page turning, fervor of a Michael Connelly novel, mystery novel. I really recommend that you get The Painter by Peter Heller if you enjoyed Dog Stars and want a good mystery.
All right. Well, thank you for that. A couple more recommendations over email. Mary Jane, all-time favorite book read at age 11 and at least 20 times after is A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by
Beautiful
Betty Smith.
Book.
Now reading two books. This is The Story of a Happy Marriage by Ann Patchett and City of Thieves by David Benioff. She also says, huge congratulations to Green Apple. It's her favorite bookstore.
Oh, thank you. City of Thieves is one of my favorite novels, too. Great choice.
Thank you. And Noah says, right now I'm working my way through Nassim Taleb's The Black Swan, not to be confused with the movie. The impact of the highly improbable, it makes a great case for skepticism and critical thought that I think is sorely needed in our political and social space. Read this if you're a fan of cataloging logical fallacies and cognitive biases. Thank you for that recommendation. We're almost out of time. Any more recommendations before we end?
Oh, I have so many. I could easily do this for another hour. Jason Chin, a wonderful nonfiction for younger readers, middle grade readers. Older books are Redwoods, Island, which is about the Galapagos, and the newest one is Gravity.
Have you read The Galapagos?
Yes. Yeah, The Island, yes, by Jason Chin. Oh, it's amazing how much wonderful information he puts into that book.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Yeah, it's great.
It would be also nice to visit the Galapagos.
I would love to.
And what about you, Kevin?
California by Eden Lapucky. This book has enjoyed what the Colbert blip, they're calling it now. It was sort of used by Sherman Alexie when he was a guest on the Colbert Report as an example of what type of a book could be lost during the Hachette and Amazon dispute. And he championed this book, which it wasn't out at that time, as a book that, you know, because they're removing the pre-order buttons, because they're burying books by, you know, published by certain publishing houses, that a book, and he said, a book like California could get lost in the shuffle. And indeed it could. But because of his efforts, this book is extremely popular now. And I had been reading it when it came out. I read it in Galley, and it's very good. She's a local author, and I really encourage folks to believe the hype. California by Eden Lapucky.
Kevin Hunsinger is co-owner of Green Apple Books. They'll be opening a new store on August 1st, 9th Avenue in the Inner Sunset. And Carla Kozak is collections developer for kids' books at the San Francisco Public Library. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for all of your recommendations. Check yourcallradio.org. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll discuss coverage of the ongoing military attack on Gaza. Over the past 10 days, over 200 Palestinians have been killed. More than 1,500 have been wounded. One civilian in Israel has been killed. So how are the media reporting the assault? The BBC is defending its coverage from protesters who say it lacks context. What are the media getting right and wrong about Israel and Palestine? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan, Ali Budner, and Becca Hoekstra produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.
This is KALW San Francisco, local public radio. Don't forget, if you're buying or selling a home, you have an opportunity to work with the best agents in the Bay Area. My Broker Donates connects home buyers and sellers with the most effective agents in their area, and they help you get the result you want while at the same time generating a donation for local public radio without any cost to you. Learn more at KALW.org/mybrokerdonates. World Have Your Say from the BBC is coming up next. It was recorded an hour ago for broadcast at this time here on KALW San Francisco Local Public Radio, online kalw.org. It's 11 o'clock.
Hello, I'm Chloe Tilley. Welcome to World Have Your Say. We're focusing on the breaking news from Ukraine.
A civilian airliner travelling from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur has just been shot down by a Buk anti-aircraft system. 280 passengers and 15 crew have been killed.
As Malaysia Airlines tweeted that it had lost contact with the passenger plane MH17, reports started to come in that the plane had been shot down. We now know it came down on the Ukrainian-Russian border in an area which is controlled by pro-Russian rebels. Videos are already appearing on social media sites from people claiming to have seen it shot down, but this is unverified. Well, both the separatists and the Ukrainian government have denied any involvement, instead pointing the finger at each other. Well, over the next hour, we'll try to piece together the information we have and bring you the very latest.